With the ringing of that school bell, you know it's time to get your Bibles and come back for another Bible study in one of the classes of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today we're going to continue our study of the man named Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of exhortation, this good man and good friend. And so you'll want to turn in your Bibles now to Acts chapter 11, and we'll begin looking at the account of Barnabas that is given to us in Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. And this is when Barnabas is sent on a mission from Jerusalem to Antioch to see what's going on with the churches there, because they were experiencing great growth, not just from among the Jews, but also from among the Gentiles. And we'll see how that goes in just a moment when we get to that part of our study. While you're turning to Acts chapter 11, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and then superintendent of this radio Bible school. And today, for our study of Barnabas, we are looking at the notes that were prepared by E. A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 26th, 1923. And we'll let that old preacher guide us through this study. Now, if you have your Bible ready, Acts chapter 11. And verse 19 says, "They therefore that were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only the Jews." Luke takes up again the work of those who were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that rose about Stephen. It had been about 5 and 8 years since the death of Stephen. Phoenicia was a narrow country, about 150 miles long, lying north of Palestine along the Mediterranean coast. Cyprus was an island in the Mediterranean Sea, about 60 miles from the eastern coast and 140 miles long, varying in width from 5 to 50 miles. Speaking the word to none save only the Jews? Well, they followed the example of the apostles and the Jewish conception of the gospel before Peter was sent to Cornelius. They began at Jerusalem, the right place, but had not yet begun to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations. Note the missionary work that was going on during this period. Philip preaching in Samaria to the eunuch and in all the cities from Azotus to Caesarea. Paul in Damascus and Arabia and doubtless in his native country of Cilicia. Peter throughout Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, and those of this verse and Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Doubtless they planted churches in Phoenicia, the ones that were mentioned in Acts chapter 15 and verse 3. Phoenicia, that ancient home of the Phoenician mariners, lay between Antioch and Jerusalem. All this was done in a few years by the church, and though no other missionary organization was doing that work other than the church. You see, the church is God's missionary organization. This is the true missionary spirit. And then it says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 20, "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus." Some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, those Greeks were Gentiles. Cyrene was a city on the northern coast of Africa. Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear the cross of Christ, Matthew 27 in verse 32. And while he may not have been in this company, we tend to think of him just here. They did not preach to the Gentiles until they reached Antioch. It seems, too, that these men came to Antioch at a later period than those who spoke only to the Jews. This was probably after the conversion of Cornelius, although it may not have been. These Greek-speaking Jews from Cyprus and Cyrene were not so intensely prejudiced against the Gentiles as the Jews of Judea. When it says that upon their preaching, people turned to the Lord. Look at this in Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. It says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. Now, the hand of the Lord means His favor and His guidance, His help and His power. He blessed their efforts, and as some of those scattered abroad had gifts of the Spirit, they may have worked miracles. The result was that a great number that believed turned to the Lord. Now, notice how that is put. That's not accidentally said. First, it says they believed, and then those who believed turned to the Lord. Believing and turning to the Lord are two different acts, and turning here follows believing. People must repent too and turn to God. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, Peter told them, "Repent ye therefore and turn." The Gentiles, we read, turned from idols to the true God, Acts 15 and verse 19, and 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Then turn expresses all that one does between the point where he starts in his conversion and the salvation from sin in Jesus Christ. The Gentiles who turned from idolatry to God believed the gospel. They repented of their sins and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Where they believed and turned, turn embraces repentance and baptism. For those who believed are commanded to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Where they repent and turn. Turn embraces baptism. Turning to the Lord denotes a change in conduct as well as in heart, and the conduct is the obedience required by the Lord. While it is said that these believed and turned, it is said the Corinthians believed and were baptized. Acts 18 and verse 8. And while Peter exhorted some to repent and turn again, Acts 3:19, he exhorted others in the same condition to repent and be baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. Well, the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas as far as Antioch. Let's read about that in Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, convinced by the case of Cornelius that God would accept the Gentiles, just as He accepted the Jews, and rejoicing over the fact. When the church in Jerusalem heard the good work going on in Antioch among the Gentiles, they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch. This implies that he would visit other places on the journey. This is an example of a church sending out a preacher or a missionary, and the place of his work is designated. We can infer the importance and purpose of his mission by the work which he did. Let's look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Who, when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They should make it their purpose of life to serve God, and they should cleave to God with all the power of their will. This exhortation should be heeded by numerous churches today. The grace of God which he saw was the conversion of the Gentiles. He was glad or rejoiced over the mercy of God, that God was showing mercy to the Gentiles. These new converts needed the exhortations of Barnabas. He was just the man to send. He was reared in Cyprus, only 70 or 75 miles from Antioch, and was familiar with the language and customs of the people, and he was a great extorter. That's why he is called the son of exhortation, Acts 4, 36 through 37. And then we read in Acts chapter 11, 24, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and the faith, and much people were added to the Lord." He was not only just and upright, but kind, generous, loving, and anxious to help others. He possessed some gifts of the Spirit, Acts 13 and verse 1. Through his exhortations, much people were added to the Lord. To become Christians is to be added to the Lord. It is our experience today that many have been added to the Lord by hearing scriptural exhortations to the church on right living and the blessing of the gospel, as in other ways. Now we read Acts chapter 11, 25 and 26. "And he went forth to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the Christians, with the church, and taught much people, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Saul had gone from Jerusalem to Tarsus a few years before this. Barnabas doubtly knew Saul before his conversion, and it was he who assured the disciples at Jerusalem that Saul was indeed a Christian. Jesus had told Saul he would send him to the Gentiles. Saul was a teacher, Barnabas an exhorter. The increasing work at Antioch required more laborers, and Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul. That was doubtless not long after Barnabas reached Antioch. Having returned to Antioch with Saul, for a whole year they were gathered together with the church and taught much people. Great success attended their united labors. Here's an example of the preachers teaching a church as well as others through the church. And it says that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, there's been a lot of controversy about whether the name Christian was given by divine authority or by the enemies, but it need not be controversial. It was given by divine authority. It is a natural name, and it was accepted by the apostles and approved by the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, when Paul was preaching, Felix said to him, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, Peter writes, "If any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian, and glorify God on this behalf." It is interesting that where it says they were called Christians first in Antioch, that the word there translated called is always used as a pronouncement from God, and it would not be doing violence to the text understanding that word to include that, at least in italics. They were called of God Christians first in Antioch. That word Christians embodies that word Christ, and those who take upon that name and live by his teachings glorify Christ.